Blog Talk Radio.
Nova and I, we worked together for a couple of years, and she is a powerhouse vocalist. Anyway, we wrote this song together. This is the title track. It's called Triumph. Okay, here we go. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Updraft this Sunday. And my goodness, we had a bit of a case of the hiccups there, but that's okay. We're going to go forward with the show and just have a great time anyway. Once again, welcome. You are listening to Updraft. This is Deletta Gillespie, and we're going to talk a little bit today about forgiveness. That's on the agenda, and I have an amazing guest or two lined up today to talk about forgiveness. I think forgiveness is a topic that is very, very much misunderstood, and so we're going to dig a little deeper beyond the idea of forgiveness. A lot of people have the idea that forgiveness is about letting somebody off the hook, but we know that that can't be further from the truth. So we're going to talk about that a little later with my guests. And then I am going to talk about vacations. In fact, I'm going to start with that, this being summertime. And I would love for you guys to give me a shout. And let's talk about summer vacations. Let's talk about the times where we take vacations, and summer is a great time. I know some people like to vacation during the winter time, but I guess if they're snowbirds and they want to travel south and go to some of the warmer destinations, but that's high season for them as well. And so I sort of like to go summertime when most people like to go, even though the lines are longer for the amusement park rides and that sort of thing. But summer is just my time of the year. So I want to talk a little bit about vacationing and even staycations. And so I hope you'll join me. The call-in number is 646-929-0634. And once again, you're listening to Deletta Gillespie on Updraft right here on the Family Healing Circle Station on Blog Talk Radio. But before that, I want to give you the lineup for Blog Talk Radio, specifically the Family Healing Circle. And we have some amazing shows on our station on Monday at 7 p.m. and all show times are at 7 p.m. On Monday, we have an amazing show with Pastor Cook, and the name of the show is called Totally Whole. And she talks a lot with her guests about wholeness from a Christian perspective. And so you don't want to miss that show. Tune in with Pastor Cook and Totally Whole on Monday evenings. And this Tuesday, we have a brand new debut show this Tuesday. We've got a two-hour mix with world-famous DJ Davey D and his R&B mix. So you won't want to miss that. This coming Tuesday at 7, a debut show with DJ Davey D and his two-hour R&B mix debut right here on the Family Healing Circle station on Blog Talk Radio. And then the next is on Thursdays, where we have amazing, amazing shows on Thursday. Well, all of our shows are amazing, I think. But in fact, I know. But on Thursday, we have a rotation of shows. And we start with the first Thursdays. We have Angela Hardy, who is a diva extraordinaire, the founder and owner of Simple Wellness Studios in Baltimore. And she has an amazing spa and studio. And she will talk every Thursday, every first Thursday as she does. The title of her show is called Total Empowerment. And it's about empowerment primarily from a woman's perspective, but she also lets the guys in on a good day and let the men contribute to the conversation that day. So it's wonderful to have her on First Thursdays, which will be this coming Thursday. So join us this week with Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of each month, we have Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey Bailey, and their show is called One Love, One Connection, One Us, the relationship show. So if you are having challenges in your relationships, or you want some tips on how to keep your relationships going well and smoothly and everybody being very open and relating well with each other, you don't want to miss their amazing show on the second Thursday of every month right here on the Family Healing Station, Family Healing Circle Station. Third Thursday, we have the Reverend Jermell Gilliam, and he talks about the Sacred Masculine. That's the name of his show, The Sacred Masculine, otherwise known as The Man Show. So while we had Angela Hardy talking about total empowerment on the first Thursday, the yin, we get the yang on the third Thursday with the gentleman, Reverend Jermell Gilliam, The Sacred Masculine Show, also known as The Man Show. Fourth Sunday, we follow up with Reverend Harvey Bailey, and the title of that show is called Inner Consciousness, The Inner Consciousness, and that show is The Self-Help Show, as he affectionately calls it, The Self-Help Show. And then on the fifth Thursday, which we have this month, we don't have every month, but this month we will, in the month of July, it will be Reverend Arlene Cahet will join the lineup again, and her show is called Healing Paradigms, Going Down the Rabbit Hole. So for those who are into metaphysical truths and information and all things metaphysical, you don't want to miss Healing Paradigms with Reverend Arlene Cahet on the fifth Thursday of the month for the months that we have this Thursday, and Going Down the Rabbit Hole. And she would sure love to have you join her and listen in on that show. Some really wonderful information that she shares that you won't find on, your average run-of-the-mill radio show. And then, of course, on Sundays, I bring up the rear, or you can say I start the week off. For those of you who adhere to the Sunday being the first day of the week calendar type people, Updraft with me, Diletta Gillespie, and I get into all sorts of useful and sometimes useless information. My friends sometimes call me the queen of useless information, and that's okay sometimes. You never know when those bits of useless information will suddenly become useful. So once again, welcome to Updraft. I am Diletta Gillespie, and we're happy to have you here on on Updraft. And so today, again, we're going to talk a bit about forgiveness, and then we are going to first, we're going to talk about vacations. Now, feel free to call in. You can reach me at 646-929-0630. And we will have a conversation about vacations. Once again, 646 929-0630. And so, vacations are important, and many people don't necessarily feel that way about vacations, but we know that vacations are very, very important. And for very many reasons, some people seem to think that they're kind of trivial. And I know in our country, we have so much inherited the Puritan ethic where work, 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 and productivity, and you've got to be producing something, and idle time, people are made to feel guilty for not always being productive, not always doing something. But the truth of the matter is that we are human beings and not human doings. We have that title for a reason. And so human beings need time to be instead of just doing all the time. And so vacations are useful. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what kind of vacation suits you best. Now, there are all types of people in the world, as my grandmother used to say. It takes all kinds of people to make a world, and we know that. And so we know that for every person, there is sort of a type of vacation. And some vacations suit some people better than others. So we're going to start with a top 10 list from one of my favorite people, in terms of late night television. I don't watch a lot of television. I feel the same way about television as I sometimes feel about Facebook. Lovely to have, great way to connect, great opportunity sometime to check in with the rest of the world, but if you're not careful, it can be a really big time suck. So I'm very, very judicious with how I tend to spend my time. And late night television is a guilty pleasure, but it's a pleasure I don't get to enjoy that often. But when I do, I really enjoy it. And from the newly retired David Letterman, I borrowed one of his top 10 lists. Want to make sure to attribute that. And this is called The Top 10 Signs You're Having a Bad Summer Vacation, from David Letterman. So, number 10, the 8-foot mouse you saw wasn't, and that might be a little scary. Number nine of the top 10 list, signs that you might be having a bad summer vacation. You're staying at a resort billed the Cancun of New Jersey. I don't know about that one. Number eight, instead of time off, the boss institutes a take your Speedo to work day. I think I would be definitely absent. In fact, I know I would definitely be absent that day. Your airline asks you, number seven, your airline asks you to bring your own fuel. Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad vacation. I don't think I'd be getting on that plane. Number six, your suntan oil costs $140 a bottle. Well, that's kind of not a concern for me. One, I don't do any suntanning. And number two, if I did, good old coconut oil would do just fine. There are many uses for coconut oil, and for one of them is that it helps to condition your skin and helps keep you from burning. It really is, according to my health friends who are very much into health food and all things super healthy. Just grab some coconut oil. All righty. Number five. Over the top 10 signs you're having a bad summer vacation, the lifeguards attempt to push you back into the ocean thinking that you are a beached whale. And considering the 30 pounds I've, well, I won't say 30, let's just say 7 pounds I've gained over the winter, that would be me probably. Number four, you went to Disneyland, but your hotel is in New Jersey. Yeah, I don't see how that would happen, but hey, I've been on planes where people think they're going one place and they end up being on the wrong plane. So it is possible, I guess, to plan to go to Disneyland and end up in Jersey. Number three, due to the bad economy, summer has been downsized and outsourced to India. That's not even funny. Number two, your stimulus check bounces. Again, not funny. And number one, your summer fling is with Barbara Walters. Well, I think that depends on who you are. Some people might find that very, very, very enchanting. Moving right along. All right, so vacations. Why are vacations important? Vacations are very, very important because vacations help you to recharge your batteries. Vacations help you to basically, it gives you the opportunity to step outside of your daily life. And one of my favorite things is I say I always like to step out of the gravitational pull of my own life. It really helps me to focus. It helps me be a little less grouchy. It helps me to focus more. And so vacations are really, really good things to go on. So some people are into some kinds of vacations, and some people might think, you know, a day at Hershey Park would be amazing, and some people would get a headache at the thought of it, although some people might like to go and just wallow in the chocolate. That would be me, but not Hershey chocolate, but nothing against Hershey chocolate. It's just not my favorite chocolate. So vacations for the health of it, yes. What kind of vacation suits you best? So, again, you say vacation to a lot of different people, and you'll get a lot of different ideas about what a vacation is. When summer arrives and the kids are out of school, or when summer arrives and folks in the second half of life feel motivated to emerge from winter cocoons, it would help if we define what kind of vacation we need, want, or see as possible. So, here are some kinds of vacations that you might want to consider going on. Number one, sightseeing. You travel somewhere near or far away and explore that place. Museums, exhibits, markets, you go to sporting events, concerts, or my favorite, getting out in nature, touring some national monuments or structures, natural wonders. Sightseeing can be high energy and it can be expensive, but you can do it on a sort of a scaled back budget and schedule. And plan ahead, but not so far ahead that you get so sucked up into the details that you can't think about having a good time. You know yourself and your traveling companions, and then that helps you to plan better as well, and you can figure out what everybody can reasonably manage. Number two, play vacations, especially when you have children. Some vacation time has to fall into this category because children need time away and they need the experience of going on vacations as well. So a play vacation usually means a visit to a theme park, a water park, a summer festival, or sports activity. Now, this kind of vacation requires a lot of energy because, after all, children are children, and it's not that restful for adults in charge. So the thing you want to consider when you do a vacation for children, consider a family camp. You also want to think about having several adults in tow, and that way the parents or the adults responsible get an opportunity to sort of break away from the children from time to time. And I think that would also be good for the children as well to have other adults around, and you don't have to always have the parents or the primary guardians around. They get to be with a variety of people, especially people you trust. And so then it truly is a vacation for everyone and not just the kids. So again, I mentioned a family camp. And family camps are good because the parents can actually give the kids to or take the kids to a daycare or an activities area, and the children get to be amused and the parents get a break. And so, but don't think that play vacations are simply for children. Adults can get on the action too, and I think the first thing that comes to mind is maybe a golfing resort or a cruise with built-in activities or entertainment. A play vacation can also be quieter, exploring wildlife habitats or even attending a theater or music festival. I think a lot of people enjoy that kind of thing. Time with nature. Again, for people who enjoy camping, hiking, canoeing, things like that. And time with nature can involve a lot of activity, but it can also involve evenings around a campfire, lazy hours at the beach, sleeping until you feel like it, and that time for that pile of books and magazines. And this so speaks to me. Think about the time I spent in Maine several years ago with some really good friends. And it was just the best time. Maine was just perfect during the daytime when the sun was out. In the evenings, we had to have a jacket, lightweight jacket or sweater, and we sat around the campfire and roasted dinner and made s'mores, and it was just so, so relaxing. And so that was great, being out in nature, being able to, and we were right on the beach, so we could stick our feet in the sand and just really enjoy that time. So that's a wonderful thing to do, and sleeping in is always a gift and a treasure for me. I really enjoy that. And because I teach at the college level during the school year, there are tons of books and articles that I want to read, and I just don't get around to it. In fact, I have a pile of newspapers, and none of the information may be particularly relevant right now because some of them are like 4 months old or older. But that's one of the things I really enjoy doing when I have some downtime, is just going to the pile and just pulling out one of the magazines or one of the newspapers and just reading. And it's really interesting, especially when you think of newspapers being all current events, and then going back and looking at them 3 or 4 months after the event has happened and seeing how that particular issue or that particular series of issues or events has changed or shifted. So that's actually a really fun thing to do, for me anyway. Vacations, outdoors kinds of vacations with kids are great because it allows the children or the youngsters to be in nature. So many children grow up without having had the opportunity to be in the wild or in nature for an extended period of time, and there's a disconnect between planet Earth and our city living in many cases. So going to vacation in nature allows the children to reconnect with the earth and reconnect with the source of our food. And they get to play outdoors and shout and do all the things that we talk about them not doing when they're indoors. So it's a great, great opportunity. It's built in physical activity. And nature vacations can be really inexpensive. Number four, how about some rest and relaxation? Sorry, the good old R&R. And this is so important if you if your daily life is really, really busy and you don't always have the opportunity to relax, you know, your high activity levels, then having the opportunity to rest and relax is a really wonderful thing. And so vacations are good. Doing nothing is a wonderful thing. You really need that to rest and recharge. So sightseeing, but eating a lot, sleeping, eating good food, taking walks, massages, reading books, that sort of thing can really be a lot of fun. Watching television or just doing nothing. There is wonderful, wonderful value in putzing and puttering and doing absolutely nothing. And so we're going to continue on with our conversation about vacations. Now I think we are about to transition into the next part of our show. Hello, who's on the line? Who do we have joining us right now?
Hello, this is PJ.
Well, hello, PJ. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me today on Updraft with Blog Talk Radio. So glad you joined in today. I'm so glad to have you today.
Yes. Good to be here.
So for those of you that aren't aware of who our lovely guest is, PJ Cannon, we also affectionately call her Patsy. Patsy is a bliss coach. Patsy wrote a wonderful, wonderful book called Forgiveness is Bliss. And PJ, I just wanted to talk about forgiveness. That topic has come up a lot lately, especially in light of the Charleston, the killings, and you know, our nation has sort of been in this time of reflection around that. And when the young man was sentenced, the young man who is the alleged culprit in these horrible crimes, was getting a sentencing, the families of the victims were there, and they just talked about forgiving him and saying that they had extended forgiveness to him. And a lot of people didn't quite understand what that was about. They said, how could that possibly happen? So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about that, but first of all, I would love for you to share with your audience a little bit about you and the work that you do around forgiveness and how important it is. And I want to say I love the book. I read the book. I'd read bits and pieces of it, but in order to prepare for today, I went back and I just read the whole thing to start to finish. And I just wanted to say it's an amazing book. Love the exercises. I love the story about the pizza place, Lito's Pizza, was it?
Yes. Yeah, that was my test as I was writing the book. It's like, okay, you're talking about forgiveness. Let's see you apply it, you know. But we always have opportunities all day long, every day, to practice forgiveness, from someone cutting us off while we're driving to a spouse or a partner saying something that we really didn't want to hear at the time that they delivered it. So, but to give you a little background on myself, yes, I am Patsy J. Cannon, also known as J. Cannon, and I am a spiritual guidance coach as well as a bliss catalyst. And what I do is I actually help people who are unhappy in some area of their lives to tap into their own divine inner power to create the life they desire. And as you mentioned, I do my work with a foundation based on forgiveness. Because you see, as we explore how we're creating our lives, when we're tapping into our inner power, we come to find out we are creating our lives. So sometimes as we uncover this information, we also need to learn how to forgive ourselves, as well as whatever caused the situation in our life. Maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a past experience with someone on our job or whatever that we're bringing into our present. And it's impacting our future because we have the thoughts of the past. So as we talk about this horrific incident in Charleston, you ask how could the family, people are asking, how could the families possibly forgive? Well, I open up in my book, my first line says, I simply choose to forgive because I'm selfish.
But I love that. In fact, I wrote that down as one of my talking points. I simply choose to forgive because I'm selfish. And then you follow up by saying, yep, you heard me. So
that's
talk
exactly
to me about that, because I think that's a really novel concept, that you forgive because you're selfish. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, you think about the family. I mean, it's got the pain of losing loved ones unexpectedly in a place of worship. Can you imagine how horrific that is? So they have that pain in and of itself. Now to couple it with the anger, the bitterness, the hatred towards the person who caused this, that is not going to help their healing. It's not.
Right.
And so one of the things that we recognize through forgiveness is, as I recognize what is going on, now that doesn't have anything to do with the judicial system and the justice being served. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking for our own inner peace, our own peace of mind, and our own ability to live in today. We have to do that if we want to really cut the ties to the past. Because, you see, so many things, we see patterns in our lives just repeating and repeating. It's because we haven't dealt with, forgiven, and let go the past. So in recognizing this, the family is saying, I want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to heal. Mm-hmm. I want to remember my family, my loved ones in love, not around the pain of adding something else to this. Because that just makes it all cumbersome and ugly and everything else when we're adding something else to our pain.
Right.
And so it has to be a real forgiveness, a true forgiveness, which is why you see the exercises in the book.
Yes, because you talked about when somebody had said something to you. It might have been the same incident with the lady and the manager the waitress, and you said, I forgive you. And then you went back and you wrote and said, well, no, she didn't ask for forgiveness. that was just me trying to feel, oh, I don't remember the term, you please forgive me for paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, that was for me, to make me feel better about the situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, be, have a little, you felt superior, I guess, in that moment.
Yeah.
You said, oh, it had nothing to do with forgiveness. And I love the fact that you just called it. You just called it what it was.
Yeah, you know, we come in with the hardiness. Oh, I forgive. I'm going to forgive him because, you know, I'm better than that. And you know, there's a hardiness around it. Just like you,
right.
There's a hardiness. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. So what you're saying is I'm going to hold on to this as long as I can. And I'm going to make sure,
right. You
know, that. It,
right.
And it's like, that's not forgiveness. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking
right. About
really and truly releasing it. And one of the ways to release it is also to bring ourselves into that situation. And I'm going to share something that may be really, really hard for our audience, your audience, mm-hmm. to understand. But when I saw this murderer, Dylan Roof, mm-hmm. or whatever his name is, I don't like to say his name, but when I saw what he had committed, I immediately thought about a brother I had who had mental health issues, and I could have seen, he ended up committing suicide. And
mm-hmm.
I could have seen him basically doing something like this when he was in the pit of despair. And a part mm-hmm. of that was not to justify what I experienced, but to recognize there's a part of our experience in everything and everyone.
Right.
So when we bring forth that connection, then there's something that helps alleviate our pain. And again, I don't want to confuse it with justice being served. I'm talking about my divine inner power. And if
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tap into that power to create my life, I have to know what it is and what it does and how it creates.
Right, right. I understand that. A lot of people think that, you know, well, it's just like you said, that you're talking about this from a spiritual perspective, that whatever processes have been ignited in terms of the law or any other channels that have to be, you know, that are open to dealing with something like this or that are required to, that's a completely different story. Because I always say that when for every action, there is a reaction. And so the processes have to play themselves out. Talk to me about, because a lot of people have, I believe, just from hearing people, like you said, I will forgive, but I won't forget. People have, they hold on to this, and the whole notion of forgiveness and not wanting to do it, because I think they feel as though forgiving somebody means absolving them of their crime, or it's like it's letting them off the hook if you forgive somebody. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So can you speak about that, speak to that, you know, and sort of highlight that and give us your thoughts about that?
Okay, so when we talk about I'll forgive, but I won't forget, one of the true tests of forgiveness is when you can talk about what has happened with the same emotion tied into what you had for breakfast yesterday. So if you choose, if I choose not to forget, it's just a story, because we also come to recognize that, and I'm hearing feedback, so I hope I'm coming across clear.
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Okay. So one of the things that happens is when we, I'll use a situation of my ex some horrible time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have brought that situation into my experience for future dating, future situations. Now, I have I know how to identify alcoholism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but
right.
It's a story. It's not my essence, not my being. You know, you have to watch an alcoholic and men are dogs and, you know, just bringing in the bitterness. It's like, I know the signs of alcoholism, so I know, how to avoid it, what to watch for, and what I'm looking for. But I'm not bringing the essence of it. And with compassion, like I recognize that was his story, his to write, his to live, and it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
Even though I may have been impacted at the time, I can look back on that. Oh, that, you know, that was a story from yesterday. And it doesn't impact my now, my future. So
that
it's
is
like,
so...
go ahead. Thank you.
Yes,
I want to make
no,
sure
I'm
coming across with clarity. Yes.
You are. I get that, and I think of a situation, a personal relationship myself, where the gentleman had decided that being honest was optional, and was optional.
So he was a liar, in other words.
and so we. We had the conversation, and a lot of things came to light, and I just made the decision that, you know, that we needed to go our separate ways, and but I didn't feel bad about the things that had happened, and everybody was saying, well, he did this and he did that. I'm like, no, he did that to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He did that to himself, and
yeah.
I forgave him very easily because I knew that that wasn't my stuff.
Right, that was it. And at the time, you chose to participate in it. At the time, I chose to participate fully in the experience of an alcoholic husband. Oh, I went in full throttle. I mean, from trying to talk logic to him while he was drunk, from the constant fighting and the battles and watching him lose job after job and have DWI after DWI, and I participated fully. And I participated fully in terms of making it a part of my experience as I was in it. So you see now what happens with forgiveness, as I'm releasing him, I'm also releasing me. I can talk about the story and there's no attachment. I can even laugh about it because it's like, that was my journey at the time.
Right.
So at the time, I must have wanted the drama and excitement of being caught up with an alcoholic who I didn't know if he would be coming home drunk tonight or the next night, or if the car would be, you know, would come home in one piece, or if I might get a call from the police because he was pulled over for another DWI. I was all in that. That was a part of my experience. But now I choose differently.
Right. So talk to me about this notion of choice, because a lot of people will say, well, I didn't choose that, I didn't choose this, or I didn't, you know. Talk about conscious creation, and because that's what I call it, and I think those in our circle, who are into metaphysical truths and ancient wisdom, new thoughts, would say that we are co-creators, so... Why? Talk to me about conscious creation and how that relates to forgiveness.
Okay, so good, because at the time I was very unconscious in what I was creating with my ex-husband. You know, I thought that, you know, oh, this is happening to me. I didn't recognize that I was creating that, and you know, and for whatever reason, I could peel back the elements and find the mental cause. However, that's why I help people tap into their divine inner power, because as creators, we become consciously aware that nothing is happening to us. We are creating this in our lives. I even believe that we can go so far as that we chose our parents. I mean, come on, think about it. All those sperm and all those eggs, and we just fought and pushed everything else out the way and threw, said, I'm going in there, I'm going in full throttle. We wanted this experience, you know? So as we become conscious of how we're doing, how we're creating, then we make choices that are, I can say, for our highest good. But however, when I look back, that marriage I went through, that experience, it was all good. It was all for my experience. However, as I'm growing and I'm making conscious choices, I'm using universal laws, such as the law of attraction, to my advantage. I'm using spiritual principles, such as forgiveness, to release the past so that I don't bring it into today and now. Right now, I have a marvelous relationship with a loving man, but if I had brought the drama, the anger, the hurt from yesterday into right now, I'd be missing all the gifts that this man is bringing me because I have all this baggage. And, of course, every night again, I get reminded of the baggage that I'm still trying to shed. So even though I'm a forgiveness coach and a bliss catalyst, know that it's an ongoing process. But as you say, as we become consciously aware, we recognize when something is going on to block us from experiencing life as we want it. And so that's what I'm saying about that family in Charleston who has chosen to forgive. They're saying, I want to be present now. I want to live in life now. You know, I have burdens that I have to work through because I've lost family unexpectedly in a horrific place. However, I want to heal from it and I want to choose to live. Because sometimes, and when I say live, I'm saying live with a capital L, because sometimes we can choose to live with a smaller L, which means I'm going to sit in bitterness, anger, sorrow, hurt. And all of that is based on a story from yesterday.
I love that. I love that. Yes, there's something that you said. Talk to me, because I know you also facilitate an amazing class at the Spiritual Empowerment Center here in Baltimore. Before I get to that, let me say, I want to remind everybody, if you want to join the conversation, if you have some questions about forgiveness and you want to ask our lovely bliss and spiritual coach, empowerment coach, and author, Patsy PJ Cannon, some questions, give us a call, 646-929-0630, right here on Updraft. So, PJ, talk about A Course in Miracles and how that has impacted your work on the work that you do with forgiveness.
Yes, yes, yes. I began studying A Course in Miracles around 2005, and it's actually a textbook. It's a book. It's written with in three parts. It's a text. It's a workbook, and then there's what is called a manual for teachers. And the meditation, the workbooks are actually 365 meditations that you, so obviously you can do it in a year, but it took me 2 years, and everybody I know who has gone through it has taken them about that long to go through all the meditations. And what it does, it allows you to talk about Christ consciousness. These exercises actually helped me to see the world through the vision of Christ. What that means is, and this is why for me it became A Course in Forgiveness. One of the quotes in A Course in Miracles is, forgive your brother for what he did not do. In other words, I came to realize that every imagined pain that I have was because it was about something that occurred in the past. And A Course in Miracles helped me to realize the only thing real is the holy instant, the right now. Everything else is an illusion. So as we operate from the holy instant, there really is nothing to forgive. That's how God sees us, how Christ sees us. That's why Christ was able to say, pick up your bed and walk, because he saw past the illusion of anything being wrong with anyone and knew that each and every one of us are created in the image of all that is good and perfect. So it means that, yeah, you got to cut through, you know, the perceptions that we have of someone being imperfect, even ourselves being imperfect. So A Course in Miracles helped me through that to recognize the illusion and to come in with a new perception of how I saw the world. And the result for me was just total transformation, inward and outward, because as I was doing this course and just practicing, before my friends and other people's very eyes, I started transforming outwardly even. You know, people would stop me and say, what the heck are you doing? Why are you looking younger? What is going on? And it was because I was releasing the past through forgiveness.
That is pretty, pretty, pretty amazing. I have a copy of A Course in Miracles, and my first introduction to it was through the work of Marianne Williamson.
Yes.
And so reading her book, I got introduced to it. But I love how that work impacts the work that you do around forgiveness. I really do.
Yeah, and it's so funny how some everybody has their takeaway because hers, you know, her theme is a return to love, which is an awesome theme because it's about love. And so it's funny, you know, because when I was studying and somebody would say, oh, that's Marion Williamson's book. And I was like, who is Marion Williamson? But yeah, her whole ministry is based on A Course in Miracles. And you'll find so many teachers and gurus who do reference it, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think just another comment about Course in Miracles, and then I have a couple of other questions I want to ask you. So with A Course in Miracles, some people find it challenging to get through because of the language, and some people just because of, you're laughing, so you must have had that experience or have had someone share that experience with you. And the other thing is that because for many people, the concepts, it feels so radical. It feels so different than how we have been taught to think. Even those of, you know, of us who have come from very strong religious or spiritual backgrounds, I found the teachings when I first came into contact with A Course in Miracles, I was like, what is she smoking for a moment? You know what I mean? And then the more I kept reading, it was so radical. But it touched me in a very deep way, and it made me want to just sit and just unpack that stuff. But, oh, my God, it was like walking away with a migraine at first. And then, but it was so, oh, my God, but it was so revolutionary. So how do you talk to people about that and get them interested? Because you do still have the study group, and right?
Yes, I do. We meet once a month. And I say, you know, it's a daunting read. It's, you know, it's written in a pentatonic verse. I think I said that right. But it can be a daunting read. And so for me, what happened when I started reading it and I did the meditations, I started feeling the shift within. And so the text for me started making more sense. So there's a workbook with the meditations. So I always recommend to people to do the meditations and then read the text as well. However, if it doesn't make sense to you, you know, like in our class, we may linger on one paragraph or one, a chapter, a few pages, and we just may linger on it and peel it back and just feel a transformation in a sentence, a powerful sentence. So it's not to be read, the text is, I wouldn't recommend you read it as if you're reading a novel, to be to meditate on and to feel within. And it's based on the concept of the Trinity, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's based on that concept, mind, body, spirit. So you get to, it is using that language, and you talk about, I was in traditional church at the time, and when I started reading it, and I'm reading it, and for some reason, it resonated with me almost right off the bat. However, when I got to the point and I realized that this was supposed to be Jesus speaking, I shook and was like, oh, blasphemy, am I supposed to throw this down? How can Jesus be speaking, you know? And something said, push through it, and I did. And I'm convinced that it was a divine spirit, which I can see it, the spirit of Jesus the Christ is speaking, because there's no author on the textbook. We know who scribed it. You know, there's a history behind it. But it's divinely inspired, and it's the foundation for all of our teachings, except the Course in A Course in Miracles is very explicit that everything you see is an illusion. So I think when people hear that, a lot of people back off and say, you know what, that's too woo-woo for me. And I understand it, which is why there are people like Marion Williamson, there's people like me, Earl Purdy, Beverly Hutchinson, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of course teachers who you know, I believe our calling is to make sense of it, to put it in layman's terms. There's also an excellent book, The Appearance of the Universe by Gary Renard, who actually, he has a dialogue that makes the most sense, you know, in terms of understanding. But even his was a little woo-woo because he had an entity come in the flesh. and have a conversation with him about it. So all of it, it can be pretty woo-woo, but when you peel it back, and it's so funny because I did The Disappearance of the Universe with my book club, they got it right away, and they're not metaphysicians, proclaimed metaphysicians or anything like that, but they got the concept, and there's a piece in the concept of it, so that's when you know it's good. It's from, you know, all that is good and perfect. It's from the Holy Spirit when it gives you peace, you know. So that's what you'll find from the Spirit.
And what's the name of the author again, please, just for people who are listening that might be interested?
Gary Renard. It's called Disappearance of the Universe. And I always refer to it as the layman's version of A Course in Miracles. And now that we talk about it, it would be, you know, a wonderful book club read. But he has a dialogue with an entity that comes to him and brings him, explains all of the teachings and helps him to understand what's going on. Because like me, he studied it for 2 years as well, and it was, you know, still a little murky to him. So it's The Disappearance of the Universe, Straight Talk About Illusions, Past Lives, Religion, Sex, Politics, and the Miracles of Forgiveness.
Wow. I love that. TJ, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, if you don't mind. And again, guests, if you were interested in talking to our amazing Bliss coach, ACIM, of course, and Miracles Guru, and our Bliss coach on the topic of forgiveness, give us a call, 646-929-0630, and have a conversation with T.J. Cannon here, Patsy J. Cannon, on Bliss and forgiveness. You made a statement in the book that really, really resonated with me. You said, it's a title of one of the chapters. It says, forgiveness hastens the manifestation process. And I went, whoa. So talk to us about that. Forgiveness hastens the manifestation process. I feel like Willis on Different Strokes. What are you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about? Well, because it's so funny. I mean, pull up any situation that you're concerned about, worried about, fretting about. It always has something to do with the story from the past. And even our anxiety about tomorrow is based on the story from the past. So as we become conscious creators, when we've forgiven those stories and actually rewrite the stories, that's my recommendation, to even rewrite the stories, then, because remember the laws of the law of attraction, the law of reciprocity, the law of oneness, the law of circulation, all of that is based on your perception or concept of the past of a story. So if I'm sitting here, you know what, if I get involved, and I'm saying the story about my past husband, if I get involved with another man, chances are he's going to be an alcoholic and abuse me and come in here and just destroy my home and give me a hard time, and it's not going to work. So as I'm saying that story, I'm creating. And even when I don't state that story aloud, when I sit in that story, I'm creating it over and over and over again. So, again, what's going to be attracted to me? What am I going to attract? What am I going to see show up in my life? So when we forgive, we let it go. It's no longer our story. And it's also because I do radio shows and I write and I teach, I have to retell some of these stories to bring them home so that people can understand how it's real. I've rewritten that story in my mind. That's what I said. I participated in it. That's when I came up with the title of a book I expect to publish next year. It's this amusement park called Life. You know, at that time, I wanted to be on a roller coaster. I wanted that drama and experience. So it's like you said, we have to chuckle and laugh. Woo, you wanted that ride. So now that's what I wanted. Now I get to rewrite what's my next ride I'm getting on. And, you know, I'm like, maybe we'll take the merry-go-round. That's nice and cool, you know. So that's so as I'm practicing forgiveness, I'm rewriting my story. I'm releasing the past with love. All of your past mm-hmm. except its beauty is gone. That's another quote from A Course in Miracles. So now I get to create. So when I say it hastens, it allows us to really create that which we want. But God knows if I kept those old stories and wrote them over and over and told them to everybody I saw and just recreated them and carried them in my body, then I'm wrecking havoc on my body and I'm wrecking havoc on what I want to create for my future.
Understood. I get it.
You get it?
For those that, yeah, oh, I get it loud and clear. Well, I had to rewrite a big story with myself last year, big, big story. And I don't know, it seems to be that many of my, well, I think it's with everybody that relationships are our greatest teachers and intimate relationships specifically. And a couple of years ago, I, you know, was seeing somebody and they would do certain things that would just really push my buttons. I mean, like literally like, you know, I believe in live and let live, and for the most part, I'm very conscious about cleansing judgments from my being. But this mm-hmm. person would just do things. It was almost just like I was like a robot or automaton, and they would do this thing, and I would just like lose my mind just about. And I kept saying, "What is this about? What is this about?" And so, after much prayer, much meditation, you know, Spirit dropped in on me like before I was even conscious one day, and it was like, oh, so this person is representational of the behaviors of your father and your stepfather. And I was like, ding, ding. You know, Oprah talked about the aha moment. I jumped out of bed. I journaled about that. And I was like, okay, so we're done with this. We are done.
Right.
And I knew that in that moment, that relationship was going to shift. It has already shifted in the spirit realm. And then I just had to sit around and wait for the manifestation in the physical. And that's and literally I sat around and waited. And 3 weeks later, bam, you know, it's like the crevice as big as the Grand Canyon just opened up. And bam, there it is. Ha! So get that when you know, as you said, do the work. Talk to me about rewriting the stories. How do we rewrite those stories? What practices or exercises can we do to rewrite our stories so we can facilitate the healing process and then go on to be younger looking and all the other things you talk about in your amazing book? Plug, Forgiveness is Bliss. You can buy it on Amazon.com. It comes in many other places, and you can even get, if you have a Kindle, you can download that puppy and start reading right away.
And it's only $1.97 on Kindle, so push the button and
Amen.
Get it. Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Yeah, so how I love rewriting the story is recognizing the law of oneness, that I am in every story. And because I love myself so much, I'm in every story. I can look at each story with compassion. And so I can choose how I decide to view it. One of the stories I talk about, my mother, you know, she would, in this day and age, it would be considered abuse the way I was raised. You know, I got a beating every day, and my mother was not a very loving, kind mother to girls. You know, and so that could be my story, or I can choose the story of, you know, my mother taught me how to play jack. She's combed my hair in my favorite style. She sang some songs to me. So it's like, what do I choose to rewrite? And even if I didn't have that story, I could say, wow, I'm here because of my mother. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? So we can always choose how we want to proceed. That's what I'm saying. All your past except its beauty is gone. So look for the beauty, because there's beauty in everything. Everything. And God promises a happy outcome to everything, and His promises make no exceptions. That's another quote from A Course in Miracles. So realize there's some beauty in it. And one thing before you ask another question, I want to remind you. I love that you asked, why is this going on? And you saw, you know, the pattern from your father or whatever. Then the next question to ask, because our questions are always answered, the next question to ask is, how can I create a better relationship? How can I experience the loving relationship? Ask how. Because our questions are always answered. So sometimes we stop at, you know, what did I do to create this? Why am I creating it? And Wayne Dyer will tell us, you know, he says the most useless question is why. The question to ask is how. But, you know, so we want to peel it back so that we can treat the cause.
Sure.
But the follow-up is how? How can I now have the love of my life? And I'm telling you, Holy Spirit will answer you just as quickly on that one as it answered you on why. So don't forget that follow-up question. How can I be in a loving relationship with someone who loves, and adores me? How can I get that?
That is great, because I think that we do, as, you know, I consider myself a practicing metaphysician in training. I say that all together.
You are a metaphysician. Yeah, we're all in training.
But, because, you know, some things you can have mastery on, and some things they are a cradle to the grave proposition. But
yes.
I think once we get the answers, we get so happy that we get to cross the bridge, or we get to get on the bridge, and then sometimes we're so happy that we got that. It's like, well, you know, in order to really experience the transcendence, in order to really sort of completely process and find a place for this event or this series of events or whatever the case may be, you got to walk all the way across the bridge. And I think that once we have the recognition or the realization of the challenge, sometimes we stop there. Okay, I got the answer. And we don't look at we don't push further. Like you said, it was like, okay, so now I know what that's about, but how do I transcend this experience for my highest good?
What is it that you want? What is it you really want? Like, you want a loving relationship. You were in a heart, you know, maybe the relationship wasn't what you wanted to be. So the question is, how can I have a really loving, beautiful relationship? See, remembering that your questions are already answered. That's why Wayne Dyer reminds us, you know, we're asking this why stuff. I think it's Neil Donald Walsh may have said that.
Yes, yes, he did.
You know, it's come on with the how. So, you know, in asking that, we shift. I remember, you know, in my first marriage, because my second marriage was the alcoholic, the first one had all kinds of other issues. One was we were always being evicted from somewhere. And I remember asking, you know, I remember saying, oh, it can't get any worse than this. It can't get any worse than this. And every time I said that, I'd see something worse. So now I never ask that question or say, you know, how can it get any worse? Or it'll never get any worse. My answer, when things don't matter, how things are going, my question now is, how can it get any better than this?
How can it get any better? And that is rewriting the story.
Yeah.
Rewriting the story. I love that. I love that. And I like how you said earlier about looking for the good, and no matter what the situation is. And I say that too, because I went through a very challenging period growing up where we didn't know where we were going to be living from moment to moment. And then I didn't know when my next meal was coming at some point. And people asked me, well, gosh, that must have been really tough, and how can you feel good about that? And it's like, well, for one, my story is that I learned resilience, and I learned patience, and I learned compassion for those who were in that situation. And those were the gifts. And, you know, to know that I, you know, at the young age, that such a young age, to have that kind of resilience and to experience that, but still to know that better days are coming. And to me, that was a huge gift. And, you know, not everybody at 13, 14 gets to have that. So that's how I look at it. And I never thought about it as rewriting the story. I just said, I know that there's a gift in everything. But thank you for that, because one of the things I always want to do is give people practical things that they can do to help move from where they are to where they're choosing to be, or where they're visioning that their lives can go. So rewriting the story, that's really, really powerful. I thank you for that. I have one more question. I don't want to take up all your evening, but I'm so glad you're able to join us today. I really am.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Share a couple of the exercises that I love, the forgiveness exercise, holy encounter. I love that. Pretend for a day that everybody you see is someone you hold near and dear to your heart. And to heal is to make you happy. So if somebody, you know, somebody that is struggling with wanting to forgive, because sometimes, one, I say forgiveness is a process, and I say even for the folk in Charleston who made the decision to forgive, it's not a straight road. Sometimes it's one step forward and three steps backwards.
Absolutely.
But the whole thing is to, you know, like I know with one of my friends, and I was so angry, I gave myself 30 days to call him every name in the book. Well, it didn't last that long because at one point I just realized how ridiculous it is, and then it wasn't about him anymore, it was about me. And why was I being so hard on myself? That why? And how can I transcend? But anyway, I'm just saying, what do you recommend for people who are having a challenge with forgiveness, who think that, you know, forgiving is, you know, means that we're letting them off the hook, but they want to move to this place of forgiveness, because you and I know that's a peaceful place and it's a blissful place, as you say. So what exercises from the book would you recommend for people to help them cross that bridge, if you will?
Well, I think I like what you said. Well, first of all, I want people to remember forgiveness means giving up all hope of a better past.
Yes.
It means giving up all hope of a better past. So when things happen, you do need to process it. There is a process. And for you, you said, okay, I'm going to give myself 30 days to be in this and angry and calling every name in the book. Because you wanted to cleanse yourself of that. You wanted to release it. Because sometimes if we go right to it and we haven't processed it, it's going to show up again. And that's why it's definitely an ongoing process for people, for situations, for history. It's an ongoing process. Some things we can forgive like that, and some things we think we have forgiven, and it shows up somewhere else, and we realize, wait a minute, I'm not through with this yet. So, yes, we want to acknowledge it and process it. And what I like to do is, here's one thing I like to do, is give myself permission. And when I say I'm giving myself permission, then I'm also giving others permission. You know, I've coached someone who for years was angry with her father. He showed favoritism between her and her siblings. And it was obvious on the favoritism that he showed. And this woman was over 50 years, and she was carrying that pain of her father showing favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a process, and it was like, well, why can't your father show favoritism? Don't you have a favorite color? Don't you have a favorite food? Your father had a favorite job. Forgiveness means giving up all hope of a better past. That was her daddy's thing. He had a favorite. Now, she could make that her story. My daddy had a favorite, and I never was good enough, and so I'm going through life because I wasn't good enough, and my daddy didn't love me. So as we're giving daddy permission to have favorites, then you see how that has freed me? Because it's no longer about me. Daddy has favorites. I have my favorite color, my favorite food. As a matter of fact, I even have a best friend who's my favorite friend out of all my friends. You know, I may not do it with my kids, but I am saying their shoes. So that I allow daddy to give daddy permission. And now that has freed me. And when that whole permission exercise came to me, the Holy Spirit told me when she laughed about it, you know she's got it. And as soon as we went through it, she bust out laughing. And she said, I can't believe I've been carrying this with me all these years because I didn't want to give my daddy permission to have a favorite child.
Right. Well, we think that's just the most horrible thing in the world, that a parent shouldn't show favorites and all that, but that's not even realistic, is it? I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't love each and every one of them, but...
I believe that there are parents who literally do have favorites. Yeah, I do believe
that. I'm saying that some people think it's an awful thing for a parent to have that, and I'm just saying it's real. That's all.
It's real.
Judge it if you want, but it's real.
It was real for him. Now, as a parent, her decision may be, I will always love my children equally because I want to do this. This is how I'm choosing. So she's giving herself permission to love her children equally. And she gave her daddy permission to choose his playground ride, his amusement park, mm-hmm. as he chose it. Mm-hmm. He liked this ride better than that ride. She gave him permission. He liked this child. And again, her story could have continued to be, my daddy, you know, I'm better through life because my daddy didn't, you know, he showed favoritism. I had to be the one to wash the dishes. I had to be the one to clean the kitchen while I watched my sisters and brothers do nothing. Forgiveness mm-hmm. means giving up all hope of a better past. She can't change that story. So one of
right.
the processes is giving people permission to be where they are, where they were at the time.
Yes.
And now I give myself permission to choose differently.
That is so, so incredibly powerful. And I heard myself when you were telling that story, and I read this wonderful book because I had a very similar situation with my stepdad. And I read this book by Melody Beatty, and it was called, oh gosh, I think it was How to Stop Being So Mean to Yourself or Stop Being Mean So Mean to Yourself. And oh my gosh, and it literally, there was a sentence in there when she said, and I'm sort of on the sidetrack here, but not yet. But it said mm-hmm. that some people were not meant to love you. That's mm-hmm. not what they mm-hmm. came to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that was so freeing for me. Like, okay,
yeah.
so it wasn't his job. That's something I was supposed to get from somewhere else. Okay, bang, got it,
mm-hmm.
free.
Yeah.
So,
and I give them permission to not love me like I wanted
yeah,
to be loved. I give them permission.
Yes.
Now, when I choose not to love somebody the same the way they want to be loved, I give myself permission. You know?
I got you. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Patsy, I want to thank you for sharing with us this evening. Before you go, I just want to remind everybody, I'm going to do a little favorite thing with you since I've been sort of talking about summer madness and vacationing and that sort of thing. So I have a couple of things I want to ask you about your favorite summer things. But before that, I just want to remind everybody, Patsy Cannon, the book is called Forgiveness is Bliss, A Real-Life Approach to Sustained Happiness. You can find it on Amazon.com or any other place, any online retailer of books, you can get it. And if you have a Kindle or an Android or any of those other devices, you can download the book from Amazon for $1.97. And this is an amazing read. There are some great stories in there that Patsy shares and also some great exercises on how to really get to the point of being blissful because you have practices around forgiveness that can free you, make you look younger, make you feel healthier, all that stuff. So please, please do yourself a wonderful favor. Patsy, do you have, I know you have an email, or how can people reach you if they want to
yes.
talk to you about coaching or making an appointment with you or booking you for a speaking or a teaching engagement? How can people find you?
They can find me on Bliss in Life, BLISSNIN Life, Bliss in Life. My business is Center for Blissful Living, and the website is Bliss in Life. And, I am doing more coaching and speaking engagements, and I'm getting ready to start a six-week workshop, Bliss Body, so that you can end your dieting forever. And get the bliss body you desire. So, yeah, get those mindset techniques because it's all about creating. And so we go
yeah.
deep behind the cause and build that, yeah. And I remind yeah. everybody, too, July 11th, we'll be at Jewett Hill Park for the 4th Annual Sisters Gathering for Forgiveness. So take your power
That's
back. Yeah.
Right. Thank you for that mm-hmm. reminder. We had Deborah Ricks on last week talking about conscious conversations, and I know that you both facilitate that event, and so thank you for the reminder. July 11th at Druid Hill Park at 7 a.m. in the morning, and
yes.
what's the name of the event again?
It's the 4th Annual Sisters Gathering for Healing, Sacred Healing. It's a forgiveness circle, and Deborah is the sponsor of it. And this year it's about take back your power. So we'll be looking at how forgiving can allow women to take back their power. Yes, indeed.
Amen. All right. So in closing with you, I want to ask you about your favorite summer, favorite travel places. Can you name two of your favorite places to travel on vacation?
Well, anywhere I can jump in the ocean. I love ocean water. Oh, my gosh. So put me on a beach. Put me on a beach in the Caribbean island. Put me on a beach on the Florida coast, on the Hawaiian coast. Just allow me to get in that beautiful salt water because it's very nurturing for me.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. It is. It so is. I lived in Bermuda for many years, and, oh, my God, at sunset, that was my favorite place to be, on the beach. When I wasn't working, that's where I was. The sunset was, to me, really beautiful. Cool. Favorite summer ritual. Do you have a favorite summer ritual, something that you do for fun or just anything?
Favorite summer ritual. Well, I love going to the outdoor festivals. I love cookouts with friends. I'll be celebrating several times this year with that. I love hanging with my grandkids, going to the fair or doing something outdoors. So pretty much anything that involves I say celebration is a bigger spiritual practice is prayer or meditation or yoga or singing, put in that celebration. So that's a big one for me. Anything I can celebrate, any opportunity to celebrate with family and friends.
Yeah, I am working through that now. I think I am accepting that I probably have an imbalance in my life in terms of work, and so I'm feeling that. I really am, especially as I get older. So thank you for that reminder. Favorite summer eats. What kinds of things do you eat in the summer that bring you joy? And you mentioned cookouts. So, but you're also a vegetarian? Vegan?
I'm a whole food plant-based. I'd rather say that than vegan because you can be a vegan eating potato chips and Twizzlers. So I like to think I do whole food plant-based. And I love grilled fruit. So you can put a papaya on the grill. You can put pineapple on the grill, watermelon on the grill. Yes, I love grilled fruit. And on top of that, I love cold fruit. I love anything that I bake because I know it'll be vegan. So I like baked goods. But the atmosphere of being with family. And one of the things I've learned is that food is not my source. Sometimes one of the things we have challenged is we think that the food is what brings us the joy. So that's why we have a tendency to overeat or eat the wrong kinds of food. So I love my food because I look to food as something to enjoy rather than something I might have guilt over.
Gotcha. It makes great sense to me. And my final question, summer theme song. Do you have a summer theme song?
You know what song I like to hear? Will Smith. Summertime. I love that song. That just, even though Will Smith is younger than I am, we talked about driving through still, you know, and just the lyrics from that just brings me joy. So that's one of my favorite summer songs.
I love that. I played that actually a couple of weeks ago.
There's a Roy Ayers Summertime, too. There's another one, too. So anything,
yes. No, I hear you. I'm right there with you. That's one of my favorites, too. So both of those are. And, yes. And I like the original Kool & the Gang version, too. The Summer of Madness, you know. With the in the background and everything. Oh, my God. Memories.
I'm looking forward to going to Richmond to the Richmond Jazz Fest because that's another thing I enjoy doing in the summer, going to the Richmond Jazz Fest. Capital Jazz Fest got too big for me, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah. So I gave that one up. Yeah, go to Richmond now.
Okay. Well, again, I still want to thank you for spending the time with us this evening. here on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, everybody, blissinlife.com, author, life coach, bliss coach, A Course in Miracles facilitator, teacher, coach, all of that. The amazing, beautiful, talented Patsy Cannon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Delana. Blessings.
Blessings. We'll be back on the other side to talk more about summer and the top 10 vacation spots to vacation here in Maryland, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And I, we worked together for a couple of years. That she's a powerhouse vocalist.
Okay, well, that ended a little short, but that is okay. So, top 10 places in Maryland to vacation during the summertime. Number one, Ocean City. Now, a lot of people have their thoughts about Ocean City because, it can be crowded in the summer, but there's nothing like crab cakes on the boardwalk and the free movies on the beach every Monday and Friday nights outside of the Princess Royale, and Tuesday nights the fireworks and free concerts on Wednesday at the Division Street Beach. And so Ocean City, close to home, pretty good, not too bad a drive, especially if you can manage to time it during the off traffic, the non-rush hour times. And that's a great, PJ talked about, Patsy, we talked about the beach and she being anywhere near the ocean, so Ocean City's a real good bet. D.C., of course, National Harbor is not that far away, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And, of course, we know that it's actually on the border of Oxon Hill, and it's much cheaper to stay than in D.C., so if you decide to overnight there, go to a show, a concert, or anything there, and just stay overnight at National Harbor in D.C. Talbot County, St. Michael's, called the most romantic town in America. The historic towns of Easton and Oxford, and you can visit the Chesapeake Maritimes Museum there. Chesapeake Bay, of course, on the eastern shore. The town of Cambridge, you'll find a lot of quaint shops, galleries, and restaurants. And, of course, it's really, really close to the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge. And many, many people cite that location as a favorite because of the refuge. So that's another great place in Maryland to go to visit. It's a bird lover's paradise there. Some people call it the Northern Everglades. So we're talking about the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge there, Chesapeake Bay, near Cambridge. All right, number five. Annapolis, the sailing capital of the world. You've also got the Naval Academy and those old historic 18th century buildings there. And Western Maryland, great for outdoors types. Western Maryland, you can find all kinds of outdoor activities, lakes, golfing, the mountains in the summer. Deep Creek Lake is a magnet for people who like to fish and golf and hike. And in the wintertime, of course, it's time for skiing, snowboarding, and snow tubing. But we're talking about summertime, and so we're going to keep it focused on the water activities in the summer. There's also the Wisp Resort. Great antique shops are also located in the area. And, of course, the towns of Frostburg, Hagerstown, and Oakland are nearby. Also on the list of top 10 places in Maryland to vacation, Ocean Pines. It's on the bay just northeast of Ocean City. Has all the same access to beaches, fishing, fun, and sun. But since it's a little further away, it's a little more affordable and a few less people there. So Ocean Pines is some place to consider. Lots of vacation rentals are available there. And it's like a waterfront view without the crowds that you would have in Ocean City. So Ocean Pines is an alternative. Next on the list, the town of Berlin, also close to Ocean City, but Assateague Island as well. Excellent hiking trails and bird watching you'll find there, as well as some quaint little shops and excellent golf. And if you've got a big group, it's great. They offer a lot of great activities. And you can also, like I said, the vacation rentals are easy to get, and that would be maybe a perfect choice for you. And lots of rooms available on the water. Another top 10 place in Maryland is Frederick. And Frederick is great for people who love food and art. It's one of the most distinctive destinations in Maryland, many people say. Famous for its restored historic downtown area and the world-class restaurant district. And there's a new restaurant by top chefs Brian Voltaggio, and his restaurant is called Vote. Or you can do a Taste Frederick food tour, and it'll take you to some of the best spots in Frederick for some samples. They also have a great candlelight ghost tour, and you can find out why they call Frederick the most haunted city in Maryland. And last on the list, certainly not least, for those that want to do a staycation, there's Baltimore, and specifically the sports complex, Port Discovery with the kids, the National Aquarium, some great, great spots in Maryland to go vacation. And so I am going to complete the list of reasons you might want to go on vacation. Rest and relaxation, family time, we'll go into detail with that, but we sort of talked a little bit about that earlier. And also planned intensive experiences, that's another reason to go on vacation. Say, for example, you want to learn Spanish or French, but you want to immerse yourself in it. You want to spend a little while there and walk away having a better grasp of the language. Well, that's a great reason to go on a vacation. So it could be anything from a pottery or poetry workshop, a historical pilgrimage, or help to build a home for a company like Habitat for Humanity. So they're really wonderful, intensive experiences that you can have. And then, like I said, a staycation, finding some place close to home, checking into a B&B somewhere close to home and enjoying the views, or having a lazy weekend or even weekday. So those are things to think about when you plan your summer vacations, as I hope you were doing. Here's what Maya Angelou had to say about it. She said vacations were really, really important. And, of course, we know that she traveled all over the world. She spent some time in Africa. She spent some time in many other countries, Europe. And she said that being exposed to other languages increases the perception that the world is populated by people who not only speak differently from myself, but whose cultures and philosophies are other than my own. And she said that the one thing she hoped that people would learn or understand as they traveled is to recognize that all peoples cry, laugh, eat, worry, and die. And she also said that if we could recognize these shared experiences, we would be more likely to understand each other and even become friends. So something to think about as you continue to enjoy your summer. We are 1 week into it, and even though we had a very rainy Saturday here in the Baltimore, D.C. area and other places on the East Coast, I tend to think of rain like my friends in Bermuda, liquid sunshine. It's just liquid sunshine. Just liquid sunshine. And so at this moment, I am going to sign off for Updraft for this week. I want to thank everybody for joining me, and I want to thank Patsy Cannon once again for coming on board and talking to us about forgiveness. And next week, well, I'll have a bit of a surprise for you. I'm not even going to share that with you yet, but please look me up on Facebook. Also, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, the Family Healing Circle Station. And don't forget about the wonderful lineup of shows that we have going through the week. And I will share those with you again tomorrow evening. Totally Whole, a show with Pastor Cook, talking about how to be totally whole from a Christian perspective. Tuesday, our debut 2-hour mix with the world famous DJ Davey D, R&B mix. It's the debut show. You don't want to miss that. Please tune in. first Thursday, which will be this week, Angela Hardy, owner of the Simple Wellness Spa, with her show Total Empowerment. And once again on Sunday, join me here on Updraft. I'm Diletta Gillespie. I am signing out. Have an amazing week. God bless. Be well. All the best. See you soon.
Nova and I, we worked together for a couple of years, and she is a powerhouse vocalist. Anyway, we wrote this song together. This is the title track. It's called Triumph. Okay, here we go.